From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Spiritual knowledge of Christ will be a personal knowledge. I cannot know Jesus through another person's acquaintance with Him. No, I must know Him myself. I must know Him on my own account. It will be an intelligent knowledge. I must know Him, not as the visionary dreams of Him, but as the Word reveals Him. I must know His natures, divine and human. I must know His offices, His attributes, His works, His shame, His glory. I must meditate upon Him until I comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It will be an affectionate knowledge of Him. Indeed, if I know Him at all, I must love Him. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head learning. Our knowledge of Him will be a satisfying knowledge. When I know my Savior, my mind will be full to the brim. I shall feel that I have that which my spirit panted after. This is that bread whereof if a man eat, he shall never hunger. At the same time, it will be an exciting knowledge. The more I know of my Beloved, the more I shall want to know. The higher I climb, the loftier will be the summits which invite my eager footsteps. I shall want the more as I get the more. Like the miser's treasure, my gold will make me covet more. To conclude, this knowledge of Christ Jesus will be a most happy one. In fact, so elevating that sometimes it will completely bear me up above all trials and doubts and sorrows, and it will, while I enjoy it, make me something more than man that is born of woman, who is few days and full of trouble. For it will fling about me the immortality of the ever-living Savior, and gird me with the golden girdle of His eternal joy. Come, my soul, sit at Jesus' feet, and learn of Him all the day.
Uncertain, though the path we travel be unknown, our God has given an assurance. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can be strong. Joy, our hope of life eternal. eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. Even when I cannot see tomorrow, His word is like up unto my feet. And when the laughter turns to sorrow, in His embrace we find His grace. When we are weak, He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure. We stand, and when the storms of life surround me, and when the winds of sorrow blow, I will hold on to the rock of ages, for I know this one thing.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, Let us pray. To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled, The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Here, God declares his exclusive dignity. Jehovah alone is God, and there is no other God. Implicit in this command is the total condemnation of idolatry. Further, this commandment sets forth the essential duty of man. He is to worship God alone, with all the implications of such worship, such as adoration, trust, obedience, love, fear, and so forth. Sadly, men seem to want to worship everything but God. As we'll see today, this commandment also declares the eternal deity of Christ, for he is Jehovah. Now, to continue to deal with the first commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, what is worship? I'm not going to preach a long sermon on worship. It's a very comprehensive word. It includes every duty that we owe to the Lord. We must know him and make sure we know the true God according to his word. For this is life eternal, that they may know thee. The converse is also true. This is death eternal, that they don't know thee. So it's vital that we know him and receive his word and refuse the lie. We must adore him and do homage to his majesty. He says in Isaiah 33 and 13, "Acknowledge my might." We must trust him. As we noted, faith is one of the weighty matters of the law. We must confess him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. We must love him, said Jesus, with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. Peter says we must fear God. We must pray to God. In Isaiah 45 and 11, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and thy Maker, ask of me things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me," or "ye may command me." So the Lord says, I am God. If you believe I am God, pray. If you believe I am your God, call upon me. We must pray. We must praise him, giving thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And obviously, we must obey him, for to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So this is the whole duty of man. What doth the Lord require of thee? This is what he requires of thee: to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. But you know what was said about the foreigners whom the king of Assyria planted in Samaria is all too true of mankind generally. It's a terrible statement in 2 Kings 17 and 29. Every nation made gods of their own. The duty of man is clear, but every nation made gods of their own, and men are still busy in that same pursuit. Idolatry is rampant. Old-fashioned idolatry is abounding on every hand, not only in foreign countries, but here in the United States of America. You have heathen temples. You have heathen gods. All around you in every great city of America. Old-fashioned heathenism. See. And then on top of that, we now have the worship of man, his scientific and technological accomplishments. Men call this secular humanism. They call it atheism. But in reality, it is idolatry. Then we have the yuppie religion of earth worship. We have these who are forever talking about Mother Earth. They even have the old Greek name for her now, taken from the Greek word for earth. And that was the name of the old Greek goddess of the mother of all living. We hear it on television, we see it in the newspaper, it's on people's lips, the worship of Mother Earth. Then some of the so-called Christian, far from Christian, but it's the name they take, Christian feminists worship the goddess Sophia. In fact, they had a big conference not too long ago at which they announced to the world their rejection of the God of the Bible, their rejection of the Christ of the Bible, and their embracing of this goddess Sophia. They announced that to the world, mostly with the help of a huge contribution from the Presbyterian Church, USA. Idolatry on every hand. So pervasive is this idolatry. You think of the Church of John Knox, the Church of Scotland. 1993. There was a motion before its General Assembly to reaffirm to the world that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And that motion was defeated by over 400 votes to about 300 in the General Assembly of the Scottish Presbyterian Church. Idolatry on every hand. But then there are many other idols. Idols that are so popular that they're welcomed even in church. And I'm not talking merely about the little statues of Mary and the non-existent St. Christopher. I'm talking about the things that are welcomed in our own churches, in our own homes, and in our own hearts. I'm talking about things that will brand every man and woman in this meeting tonight an idolater by nature. What does the Bible say? Colossians 3:5. Covetousness is idolatry. That's God's interpretation of idol worship. Covetousness is idolatry. Where is the man then who can hold up his head and say, I am not an idolater? Samuel tells us in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. A stubborn pursuit of our own way. A stubborn rejection of the wisdom, word, and leading of God. God says, when you stubbornly set your face for your own will in defiance of the will of God, that is idolatry. Paul mentions sensuality. Philippians 3:19. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What a description of idolatry. Minding earthly things. Glorying in shameful things. Paul writes of things that ought not even to be mentioned among the people of God. He talks about things that are too shameful even to soil the lips of the people of God. We live in such a sensuous age. Sensuality is accepted in every hand. People dress sensually, walk sensually, talk sensually. Vile and filthy conversation defiles their lips. God not only says that is a breach of the later commandments about morality, but he said that is an attack on the very being of God. It's a breach of the first commandment. It is idolatry. I think you could make a very good case, therefore, from Scripture, that ungodliness is essentially idolatry. Is it not idol worship? Is it not idolatry? Deliberately to ignore God and His Word? Deliberately to neglect the God of Scripture? Is it not idolatry that would let some who even come to a church like this and sit from week to week, participate in the service, sing the hymns, bow their heads to pray, etc., but that will allow them to resist the workings of the Spirit of God and reject the Lord Jesus Christ because of some trivial thing in the world, because of their attachment to something of the flesh or the world? What is this? It is idolatry. And what shall we say of those who have a hypocritical pretense to worship? What shall we say of those whose outward demeanor professes that they acknowledge Christ, that they worship God according to His Son, but all the time they know Him not? Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, "This people draweth near to Me with their mouth and honoreth Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me." One old preacher put it this way. He said, "The hypocrite calls on God to be an accomplice and a partaker with him in his crimes." What an idolatrous and wicked sin it is to put up a pretense. Oh, you pass as a Christian. You pass as a godly young man or young woman. But all the time of a heart of rebellion against God and rejection against His Son. You bow your head, you say your prayers, you read the Bible, you would make the very God of heaven an accomplice in your crime. This is idolatry. Such sins are heinous enough in themselves. But according to our text, they are committed in the very face of God. He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." Literally, before My face or in My presence. Every sin is committed in the Lord's face, under the Lord's eye, but especially this sin of idolatry. Idol worship. All this great catalogue of crime and sin and wickedness is not only not hid from God, but it is committed right in His face. That's why He says in Jeremiah 7 verse 9, "Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before Me in this house which is called by My name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations?" Let's stop there. Will you do that? Do you think you can get away with that? to set up idolatry? Be it covetousness, stubbornness, hypocrisy, or other ungodliness? If you can set up idolatry, and then you can come into God's presence and think because you do so, because you bow before Him and you join in the congregational worship, that somehow or other, that will make your idolatry all right with God. He says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Here is the duty of man, and it condemns every one of us by nature and by practice as an idolater and a criminal at the bar of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.